Why don't we read our Bibles, pray a little bit, and then we'll talk about what we read. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the gift of being able to come together as people who are seeking after you. Thank you, God, that you speak to us when we read this book. And so, God, now I pray that through your Spirit and through your Word that you would speak to us, that you would draw our hearts to you, that you would help us to know and love and trust you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, flip over to Matthew chapter 8, almost the very end. There's a story, something that happens in the life of Christ that has more to do with his disciples than with him, but that he brings it back around to himself. And the story has to do with something that's common to all of us. It has to do with bad stuff happening in our lives. It has to do with when just our world kind of explodes and bad things happen. And this is relevant for all of us and good for us to read and to think about, because bad things happen to everybody. We all go through bad times. If you just stop and think for a minute, and this isn't like a happy thought, not like happy like springs here. This is kind of a sad thought. Think just for a minute about some of the bad things that have happened to you in your life. And unless you're really, really, really young, you start thinking, and it's like, yeah, bad things happen. And maybe right now in this moment, you're going through something that is kind of world-changing and life-shattering. And maybe you're going through a bad circumstance right now. Or maybe you've gone through a bad circumstance and you're trying to analyze it and, you know, sort it all out. Or either way, you know that in the future, you will go through bad circumstances. So what we're going to read this morning will be helpful for us, because as we think about going through bad circumstances, the first question that we ask ourselves is, okay, how do I react? How do I react when I go through bad circumstances? Bad circumstances happen, bad things happen, they kind of destroy my world, and then what do I do? Do I freak out? Do I get frustrated? Do I feel like, well, I shouldn't have to go through this, because I'm with Jesus. I read my Bible. I go to church. Why is bad stuff happening to me? Isn't God supposed to keep this from happening to me? Do you get sad? Do you go to kind of depression, or do you go to anger? Do you get just really stressed out when you go through problems? How do you react to the problems in your life? And when we ask that question and we think about that, we're all different in how we react to problems, but what we realize is that it's hard for us to go through, well, by definition, it's hard for us to go through hard times. It's difficult. It's difficult to go through hard circumstances. They become things we look back on and say, that was the worst part of my life. That was something I wish I could just forget about. And then we're on the brink of something else bad happening, and you know, we have that doctor's visit, we're waiting for the test results to come back, something else bad is going to happen, and we go, this is going to be horrible, and we start the complaining cycle, we do anything to avoid it. And the text we're going to look at today invites us to ask a question: is there something better? Could there be a better way to approach bad circumstances that inevitably are going to come? Could it be possible to go through bad circumstances and be all right? Would it be possible for us to go through bad circumstances, have bad things happen to us, and be able to maintain the calm in our lives and in ourselves? Would it be possible that our relationship with God, instead of being something that we question as we go through bad times, like, how is this possible that are you even hearing me? But could it be that our relationship with God is something that helps us navigate problems in our lives? The story we're going to look at today is going to help us with our bad circumstances, because we're going to look at other people who went through some bad circumstances. Jesus' disciples and Jesus himself went through a really bad circumstance. Something bad happened to them, really bad. Maybe one of the worst things that had happened to them up until that point in their lives. We don't know, because we don't know everything that happened to them in their lives, but it was really bad. It was a really bad circumstance. And they reacted, not Jesus, the disciples. The disciples reacted much like you and I would have reacted if we would have been there, I'm pretty sure. They reacted like normal people react to bad circumstances. But then as they went through it with Jesus, they learned how they could go through bad circumstances without letting the bad things happening around them destroy them and destroy their relationship with God, without losing their head, without undoing everything that they had going on the inside between them and God. And we can learn from their story. So let's start reading the story. In verse 23, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, "And when he got into the boat," this is talking about Jesus, "when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him." So it starts out, nothing bad is happening. They were going to take a trip on a boat. And it's something worth noting as we get into this is the disciples were with Jesus. So remember that as you're reading the story. The disciples were with Jesus. They were following him. They weren't off by themselves. They hadn't stopped following Jesus. And this is something bad that happened to them because they'd stopped following Jesus and they weren't with Jesus. So the lesson is, if you're with Jesus, bad things won't happen. It's actually the opposite. They were with Jesus. And even still, something bad, really bad, was going to happen to them. But they had the most important thing. They were with him. And then in verse 24, it says, "And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep." He being Jesus was asleep. So the boat was being swamped by the waves. So if you can imagine a boat just being overridden by waves, they were about to die. We just reading, oh, boat being swamped by waves. Doesn't sound like, but then if you think about it, it's like they were about to die. This was a horrible moment in their life. They were their life was flashing before their eyes. They'd come to the end. There wasn't a way out of this. Things went bad. Just like in our lives, things go bad in our lives. And things look bad because they are bad. It's not that we're being negative. We're just being realistic. We get sick and we have family problems and things go bad with our children or with our parents or with our job or with our money, or things go bad in our lives. It's inevitable. Even, and again, what you saw in the verse before this, even though they were with Jesus, why am I driving at that twice? It's not because I like talking. It's important. We have this idea that if I'm with Jesus and if I behave right with Jesus, I went to church last Sunday, so I'm good for a week, I'm covered, nothing really bad should happen to me this week. We have this idea that if we're with Jesus, that nothing bad will happen to us in this life, and that's not true. This story in and of itself proves it. Why? Because even though they were with Jesus, they still lived in a broken world, just like you and I do. And we are not immune to the things that are broken in our world. God doesn't free his children from this world as we live this life in this world. Bad things happen to us. And then Jesus is asleep. And that's such a... You read that and you say, okay, I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be going through bad things. Something really bad is happening to me. And it feels like God is asleep, because he's not answering, at least not in the way that I want him to. I don't even feel what I should feel. I'm reading the Bible, and it's like, now more than ever, I need something. I need to feel close to you. And it's like, you're asleep. Where are you at? He was tranquilly sleeping while his followers were going through the worst moment of their life. And in our lives, we know what that feels like. We don't like to talk about that on Sunday. It almost feels like sacrilegious to say it, but we know what it's like to go through problems and bad times and say, God, if you're real, why aren't you fixing this? With a word, you could take this out of my body. You could give me a new job. You could get my boss a new job somewhere else. You could change things so drastically. It would be just, you could make it perfect with just you wouldn't even have to say it. You could think it. And where are you? Why aren't you changing it? It's like God is asleep when he doesn't react and resolve our problem, and we pray and we plead. And the temptation in those moments is to think that he's not in control. But as we see, as we keep reading, he actually is in control. His response to us isn't a sign of how much or how little he is in control. Look at verse 25. "And they went to him and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.'" So they go to Jesus, and I don't think they said it the way that I just said it. They were freaking out. They had tried everything. They had done everything. They were waking Jesus up because they were all going to die together. And I think their reaction, we could see ourselves, because see, they were looking at their situation, what was happening around them, their circumstances, and they knew what was going to happen. That was defining their reality. They were trusting in their circumstance and their situation. We do the same thing. We trust in our circumstance. We react according to the circumstances that are around us. Our situation defines our reality. We trust in what's going on around us. Our world is formed by the things that are happening to us. What is my job, and what is my family like, and what is my health, and that defines my reality. That's what my life is, and that's who I am. That determines who I am, what kind of person I'm going to be as I go through today and next week and this part of my life. It's determined by my circumstances. It's determined by the situation that I'm in. It determines what I feel. I'm sad. Well, why are you sad? Well, because this happened. And what do we say? Well, okay, I understand that. Why? Because we know that what we feel is determined by what's going on around us. The disciples came to Jesus freaking out. Why were they freaking out? Because of their circumstances. We base our emotions on what is happening around us, on our circumstances. When things are going bad, we get angry, or we get irritable, or we get depressed because things are going bad. When things are going good, we're happy. If things are going good in your life, and you're depressed, or you're angry, you're irritable, you're all worried, what will someone say to you? Why do you feel this way? Things are going good. Why? Because we expect and we just take for granted that how we feel is determined by our circumstances, by what's going on, by our life situation. It forms our attitude. If we're worried, or if we're stressed, or if we're freaking out like the disciples, or if we're envious of others because they are in a better place than we think we're in, all of that's determined by our circumstances and the situation that we're going through. It determines what we expect to have happen. Our circumstances determine what we think is going to happen. It's what happened to the disciples. What did they say? Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're going to die. Why? Because of the circumstances. We look around us and we expect, well, because of the way my life is right now, this and this and this and this is what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I know that if I'm in a bad situation, bad things are going to happen. Something bad is going to happen to me, and that will be bad. They assumed that they knew what was going to happen and that it would be bad, and their reaction to it and their opinion of it would be correct, because they looked at their circumstances. They saw that it was bad. They knew it was bad, and it was going to be bad. And then we end up obeying our circumstances. Our circumstances, our life situation, what's going on around us, determines how we act. It determines our reality. So we lie. And we say, well, I had to. This was happening. I couldn't not lie. We react in anger in sinful ways with our voice, with our hands. We take things that aren't ours. We break the law because I had to. You say, well, I never would do that. But we complain. We complain about our circumstances. We do things that the Bible clearly says, God says, my children shouldn't live this way. We stop doing things that God has asked us to do because, well, our circumstances dictate that I just can't do that. We stop being generous when bad circumstances arise around us. We obey our circumstances. They don't just determine what we feel. They determine what we do. And then we justify doing things and saying things and feeling things we know we shouldn't because of our circumstances. And we say, anybody in my place would do and feel and say what I feel and am doing and am saying. You can't judge me. Look at my circumstances. And as we do that, as we go through bad circumstances, as it defines our reality, our world, we feel alone. Even though, like, they were with Jesus, but they didn't feel like they were with him. They were waking him up saying, freaking out. And we feel alone as we go through bad circumstances. And we feel even sometimes farther away from God because he's not taking care of things and resolving things. And we feel like he's not even with us. And then we do what the disciples did. What do? We cry out in despair. We cry out in despair, and this was not a sign of their relationship with Jesus. This was a sign of them freaking out and trying to do anything possible to be saved. And we'll see in the next section, this was not them crying out to Jesus, was not a sign of their trust in Jesus. Rather, it was the opposite. We cry out to God in our despair because, well, things are just so bad, so where am I going to turn now? We go to God as our last resort. As I've tried everything else, and I've even talked to God. It's the last thing that we do because I've tried everything else, and I've even tried that. I'm trying to do everything that I can to fix this, and I'm even talking to God about it. Not because I trust in Him, but just I'm trying to do anything, and maybe, I know He could, so maybe He will. I gotta play the God card, just maybe that will fix things. How do you react when bad circumstances are happening around you, when things are going bad in your life? How do you feel? What do you do? How do you react to the bad stuff that happens in your life? Look at how Jesus now reacts to them. And He said to them, verse 26, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So work backwards. He rebukes the wind and the sea, and that quiets down. What does He do before that? He rebukes His disciples. They're about to die. And He takes the time, before changing their circumstances, He takes the time to rebuke them, as if their reaction to their circumstances was a bigger deal to Him than the actual circumstance that was happening around them. That's important. That's an interesting thing to look at. They were sinning in the way they were reacting to their circumstances. How do we know they were sinning? Because Jesus rebukes them and says, "You're wrong. You're showing a lack of faith in the way that you're responding to your circumstances." And even more important than me stopping us from dying, is the way you're reacting to your circumstances is sinful. You're trusting in your circumstances. You're not trusting in Me. And so the big idea I think we see at the end of this passage is that faith is trusting in Jesus, not in our circumstances. True faith is trusting in Jesus, not in what's going on around us. It's putting our confidence in Jesus, in Christ, not in the things that are happening in our lives. A lack of faith, Jesus says, is what? Trusting in what's going on around us. Letting that define our reality, letting that define what we feel and what we do. That's what a lack of faith is. And true faith is trusting in Jesus more than what's going on around us. Faith is trusting that Jesus is controlling the circumstances, that He's the King of the universe, that He's the one who's in charge. Faith isn't, and so then you say, yeah, but why didn't they respond back and say, okay, Jesus, I don't understand. You're rebuking us for having a lack of faith. That doesn't make sense. What are we doing? We're coming to You to save us. We're trusting that You're going to save us. Isn't that faith? I mean, wouldn't you and I define faith many times as, of course I have faith. I have faith that Jesus will save me. And then you turn on the television and you'll hear preachers say what? If you have enough faith, then you will be able to make God do anything you want Him to do. Which is not true. That's a false teaching. But see, we tend to think that faith is our power that we use to make God do what we want Him to do. And Jesus says, you don't have faith. And they're saying, well, we came to You. They're not saying. I'm saying for them. We came to You to save us. Isn't that what faith is? Isn't that the definition of faith? But I think Jesus' response to them, He's saying, faith is not trusting that I'm going to do what You want me to do. That's not faith. Faith is trusting in who I am. Faith is trusting in the person of Christ, not in what we think that He'll do. Faith isn't a magic wand that we can use to get whatever we want out of God, as if He were some kind of celestial piñata, and faith is a stick that we beat on Him with. And if we beat on Him with enough faith, He will rain down on us what we want. We were at a thing where they had a piñata last night, so that just kind of maybe makes more sense for me than for you, but picture it. Faith isn't trusting that Jesus will do what we want Him to do. That's not faith. I know God's going to heal me. Well, do you? Do you have the mind of God? I know God's going to give me a new job. Well, I know that God will take care of me. I don't know what God's going to do because I'm not God. I don't know what God's going to do. I know that He will take care of me and I know He loves me. I know that. But I don't know exactly what He's going to do. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know how comfortably I'm going to live while I'm living. I don't know that. I'm not God. Faith is trusting in who Jesus is more than our circumstances, and who Jesus is, not what he's going to do. And the reason we can trust him is because he is the sovereign king of the universe. As big and as all-empowering and all-powerful as our circumstances feel, I can't do anything about my financial situation. There's this bill and there's this. As big as that is, Jesus is the sovereign king of the universe. He's over every circumstance. He controls everything. Even while he's asleep, he rebukes them for not having faith in him while he is sleeping. See, even when he's asleep, he is the king of the universe. There is nothing that happens that is outside of his control. There is nothing that happens that he does not ordain. There is nothing that happens over which he is not sovereign. That's why we can trust in him. Jesus is all-powerful. He, as we'll see in the next verse, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but you know how it ends. He calmed the storm with a word. He is all-powerful. He has total power over everything. There is nothing that is outside of his control. So when I get ill and I'm not being healed, and it looks like this may be the end, or when something bad is happening to my family and it's not being resolved and not being resolved, it's not because Jesus can't change it. It's because he's in control of it, even when it's not turning out the way I want it to turn out. That's why we can trust him, because he is all-powerful. And he is in control over everything. And he always does what is best. Now, if it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, I don't think I am. He always does what is best, but not by our definition of what's best. When I pray and God says, no, that's not what I'm going to do. God always does what is best, not necessarily what I think is best. He does what is best for his glory and for our eternal joy, for our eternal good. Not necessarily what I want to have happen in that moment. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, please don't make me go through this torture and this misery, the Father heard his prayer, and the Father did what was best, but it's not what was best in the moment in Jesus' mind for him. He was pleading and begging that he wouldn't have to go through that, but the Father did. If we can all, on this side of the cross, look back and say, oh, absolutely, the Father did what was best. But it wasn't what in that very moment appeared to be best to one person. Our Father will take care of us. We're the children of God are in Jesus' hands. That's why we can trust him. And see, faith, we know, we can see this by Jesus rebuking them for not having faith. In his rebuke, we see what faith is and how it should be seen. Faith is something that we feel. He rebukes his disciples for what they felt. They were freaking out. And he says, that's not faith. Our emotions shouldn't depend on our circumstances. And we say, well, hey, that's impossible. My emotions go up and down based on what life does to me. And Jesus, by rebuking his disciples for what they were feeling and what they were thinking, our emotions shouldn't depend on what's happening around us. The more that we trust in Jesus, and the more we say, I trust in him, not in my circumstances, then my emotions are disconnected and detached from what's happening around me. Faith is feeling what you feel when you trust in the one who controls everything. And then that becomes visible. In the same way that their lack of faith was visible, our lack of faith is visible when we obey our circumstances and we do things we shouldn't do because we kind of force into it because this is the situation I'm in. And then we feel things we shouldn't feel and we do things and say things. And in the same way that a lack of faith is visible, trusting in Jesus more than our circumstances also is visible. It's when we have peace instead of freaking out. It's when we're able to be honest, even when we could try to control things by lying. It's when we're constant and we persevere instead of changing just because of the circumstances. It's when we're happy instead of being overwhelmed and depressed. That's what faith looks like. And then look at verse 27. The men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? They learned that they were able to trust in Jesus because they were with Jesus. If we are with Jesus, we can trust in him more than the circumstances. People who are with Christ, who follow him, who've made the decision to repent and be baptized and say, Jesus, I'm giving myself to you. I'm going to be with you like they were with him in the boat, can learn what they learned, which is if I'm with Jesus, I can trust in him more than everything that is going on around me. And then look at how they respond. They marveled. They worshiped. When we see Jesus do what he does, that he's in control over everything, that he is the sovereign king of the universe, when we see Jesus work and when we come to see Jesus more and more as who he is, then we more and more worship him. We sing to him. We pray. We listen to him in his word. We want to spend time with him. We're blown away by this incredible man who is God, who controls everything, who's the king of the universe. When we the more that we come to realize that we can trust in Jesus more than our circumstances, we worship Jesus. We no matter what is going on in our lives, we're able to say, He's incredible. He's the king of the universe. He's my brother, and he's made me be adopted by his father. That is the most incredible thing. We are able to marvel at Jesus. And if you flip that around, then you could also say that our worry and our stress and our anger and our irritability and all the bad things that come out of us when we're in bad situations, when we're trusting in the bad situations, that's kind of like worship of our circumstances. But the more we trust in Jesus, the more we react in worship of him. So, if faith is trusting in Jesus more than in our circumstances, we should put our trust more and more in Jesus instead of what's going on around us, because he is the king of the universe and he can do and he does do whatever he desires. Maybe for you, putting your trust in Jesus is starting at the very beginning, where you say, I'm gonna do what the disciples did. I'm gonna get in the boat. I'm gonna decide to be with him. I know about him. I know enough about him that I'm gonna put my trust in him. I'm gonna repent and be baptized and make a decision to give myself to him and to follow him. And if you're in that place, and if that's you, and if you did that, that's what it looks like for me to trust Jesus more. It's to make that initial decision to give myself to him, to surrender myself to him. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone, and they'll walk you through that process of repenting and being baptized and giving yourself to Christ and trusting with him. And if you say, I've made that decision a long time ago, I'm in the boat, then the question for you and I is just like the question was for the disciples. Okay, how can we trust more in Jesus the next time something bad happens to us? Because wouldn't that be the question for them? They go through this bad time. They learn faith is trusting in Jesus more than their circumstances. Then what's the application of that for them? The next time something bad happens, what are they going to trust in? Same thing with you and I. How can we trust more in Jesus than in our circumstances? Let me ask you some questions. What are the bad reactions that come out of you when you're in the middle of bad circumstances? Is it stress or anger or irritability or worry? Lying, complaining, what is it for you that comes out when you're in a bad place, when you're facing bad circumstances? And then, do you really trust in Jesus more than your circumstances? Could you focus more on Christ than on your bad circumstances as you're going through them? And how would you change as you go through bad circumstances? How would you change if you started to trust in Jesus more than in your circumstances? How are you going to change so that the next time as you go through bad circumstances, you can say, I'm trusting Jesus more than in what's going on around me? Why don't we stand? We'll pray and then we'll sing together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Like the disciples in the boat with you that day, we want to be people who worship you and who marvel at you and who say, we've seen you. We've seen you and we know who you are. We know what you can do. You're the king of the universe. There is nothing that is outside of your control. Please, God, would you make us people who trust in you more than what's going on around us? Would you make us people who have an otherworldly reaction and response emotionally when things happen that make everybody else freak out? Because our faith and our trust is in the one who controls the world and the universe. Help that be true of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.